Hold again. All right, everybody. So we are now starting Shlosha Shavuot. We started Shlosha Shavuot already, but now we're going to actually stop talking about all the prohibited foods and actually talk about Zima. So is there a problem people find the link? I mean, what?
I don't know. Like, did you...
I sent out the link last week. Everybody got it. So.
Yeah, but is that for now permanent?
Yeah.
So I don't know if everybody knows that. Maybe
I still don't figure it out, though. If they can't get one, they'll find the other. So if not, whatever, they'll get the recording. Okay. So anyway, the Mishnah here says, Shlosha Shachlu Ka'achas Chayavim Mazame. So the central question that the Rishonim deal with at the beginning of the Perek is what creates the Chiyav of Zimun? We saw a discussion earlier, and this actually, we saw Gemara earlier in the sixth Perek, and this figures prominently in the discussion of the Rishonim here, Rabbeinu Yonah's position in particular that I'll talk about. We saw the notion that if you want to exempt somebody when you make, we thought, a Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, when does one person make a bracha for everybody, and when does everybody make their own bracha? And the Mishnah said that, the Mishnah basically said that Hesebu Echad Mevarech L'chulan. If they did Heseba, then one person makes the bracha for everybody. Whereas opposed to Yashvu, if they sit, so then we say that Kol Echad Ve'echad Mevarech L'atzmo. Yeshiva, in their time, was considered haphazard. The Baalei Tosfos that we spoke about said that today that we don't do Heseba, so if we sit around the table, that is the equivalent of Heseba. But for them, if you wanted to have kavios, you wanted to be fixed as one group where one person made the bracha for everybody, so then you had to have a seba. So the Gemara there had a discussion about what happens if they don't do a seba, but they set they designate, you know, nezel v'nechal lachma b'duch plan. Let us go and eat bread in a certain place. Let's say they set up beforehand, they're going to join to eat in a certain place, but they sit, they don't do a seba. So the Gemara says, the Gemara concludes in that case that you actually, it is kvius, and one person makes a bracha for all of them. And that's why with the only caveat, though, that was in the time of the Gemara, that did away with the need for Heseba. For us, we say, we don't require Heseba. We allow sitting, but we say that you have to sit. Yeah. If you're not sitting, it doesn't matter the kamino kvius whatsoever. So, the question is, what bracha was that Gemara talking about? Now, the simple reading in that Gemara, based upon the Mishnah in which it's speaking, is it's talking about bracha Rishona. But in fact, we extend it to bracha Achrona V'Zimun as well. I may have mentioned we had this case when at the Washington rally. So on the way back, we came back to the buses. We had the food waiting for us, the sandwiches. But the guys were standing around in front of the bus in the parking lot eating, and they never sat down. So the ruling we gave them was that you don't make a Zimun. Because you don't have a Zimun, you have to have a Kriyas. But the Gemara is not explicit talking about Birchas HaMazon there. The Gemara there is only explicit. The Mishnah is talking about Bracha Rishona. So the question is, what is necessary in order to have Kriyas for Zimun purposes? So the Mishnah here says the following, Shlosha Sha'achu Ka'achas Chayavim Lezamen. Now, if you hold the page here and turn ahead to Daf Nun Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that Shlosha Sha'achu Ka'achas Einam Rashaim Lecholik. Three people who ate the exact same expression, instead of saying they have to make Zimun, it says they're not allowed to split up. Now, kind of interesting, the formulation that you and I might have said, as Tosis points out, that these are really the same thing. Right? You can't split up. I mean, you can't split up in each for your own benching. You have to make a Zimun. But the Tosos, the opening Tosos in our parak, says the following, the Yerushalmi Porech, Hoch at Amris Ein Rashaim Lechalek, the Hoch at Amris Chayavin Lezamek. So the Yerushalmi presents these two statements as if they're in contradiction with one another, which at least at first glance is very hard to understand. Where's the contradiction? They're addressing two things. You have to do this, you can't do that. Yes, because doing that is not doing this. That would kind of make sense. Being mishalik means you're not making a zimun. Being obligated to make the zimun means you can't split up. So Tosos first says, Ve'ata lechona ein zekasha. At least at first glance, Tosos says, it would appear that there's no question that the chain lekaman parach The Gemara in the Bavli asks, Tanina Chadazimna Shem Rashan Lechalik. The Mishnah's already told us that you're not allowed to split up. It didn't say that explicitly. But Hainu Mishum Dechayavim Lezami. Right, presumably, the Gemara says, we already taught us, you know, where does it say earlier you can't divide up? It doesn't say you're not allowed to divide up, but it says you have to make a zimun. So the Gemara is assuming that telling people you have to make a zimun and you're not allowed to split up is the exact same thing. So why does the Mishnah have to tell us a second time? So the Li Nira, Tosa says, to understand the Yerushalmi, the Hacha Parach, this is what the Hachi Parach, this is what the Yerushalmi is asking. Hacha at Amrist in Rishon Lechalik. In the Mishnah later, on Daf Nun, you tell us that you're not allowed to split up. Aval, ha'echad rashai ligmar sudaso, ulevarech kodem chavero. I'm sorry, that's why.
The mashma.
The mashma, in gabru achilasem yachad, ein amarshan lichalek. It sounds as if that ein amarshan lichalek means we're on the cusp of benching, which means we all finished eating together, and we're not allowed to split up. We're not allowed to divide up at this point. But it is mashma. Aval ha'echad rashai ligmar sudaso ulevarech kodem chavero. In other words, yes, shlosh shkach kachas means, and they finish their meal together, which is ein rashan lichalek. That makes zimun. What if one of them went ahead? I'm a faster eater than some people, so I finish my meal first. So it's mashma that if I finish my meal first, that would be okay. And then, but v'chayoven lezamein. When the Mishnah says you're chayiv in zimun, mashma dechovas zimun aleihem, and I would say before you finish the meal, there's an obligation of zimun. Ve'enam rasham ligmar sudasan zebelozeh. They can't finish their suda not together. Meaning, obviously, nobody. You don't have to have what do they call it? The Olympics
synchronized.
You don't have synchronized. You don't have to have synchronized completion of the suda. I can finish my sandwich before you, but it means I have to wait for you, and therefore we will bench together. So chayav lezamein means, sounds as if it means, the obligation of zimun has set in, and therefore I cannot finish my meal ahead of you and then go bench. Umishani, so that's what the Yerushalmi's question was. The Yerushalmi sounds like, on the one hand, all that matters is if we finish together. We don't finish together, so if I come to my birchas hamazon before you do, then we're permitted to split up. On the other hand, in other words, it's only if ein rashan lichalik, we reach the point where we're ready to bench and we decide to divide up. But if we didn't reach the same point together, I could finish and bench separately. But the first Mishnah sounds like once the three of us eat together, there's a chiyuv of zimun, and there's no way to get rid of that unless you do a zimun.
Even though you finish differently. The
second, no, not what. For the Yerushalmi, the Bavli assumes they're superfluous. The Yerushalmi assumes that the second Mishnah implies that you're only obligated in Zimun if you finish eating at the same time. If I were to go ahead and finish before you, we don't have to do a Zimun. Whereas the first Mishnah that says that Shlosh Kaf Achas Chayovin Lazame, it implies that we have sitting upon us already an obligation of Zimun, and the only way to do away with that would to make sure that we finish at the same time, because we don't have to actually, and bench together with the Zimun. So then, how does the Yerushalmi answer this question? So this is really difficult. The Yerushalmi answers, so Mishani Shmuel, Shmuel is quoted by the Yerushalmi as answering, Kan b'tchila, kan b'sof. One depends whether it's the beginning or then at the end. Now that part's fairly easy to understand, and I'm going to tell you what Tosis is going to say, then we'll read it, because it's very hard. It will be clear in Tosis, but in the meantime, he's going to quote the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi is a machlokas, what Shmuel meant, tchila and sof, and the language of the Yerushalmi is very unclear. But this is the principle. If the three of us start eating together, we're chayiv in zimun. That is, when we started together, that created an obligation of zimun. But suppose then the three of us don't start eating together. You sat down at 9 o'clock with your sandwich, you sat down at 5, I sit down at 9:10. So then, the only way we're going to be obligated in zimun is to finish together. So kam b'tchila, we would say that our mission is shlosha sha'achu ka'achas b'tchila chayav lezamein. There's no way out of that zimun, you're obligated. Kam b'sof is shlosha sha'achu ka'achas, meaning they finish together ein rashan lichalek. But if they didn't start together and they don't finish together, then you don't have to make a zimun. And you can imagine this actually comes up in many different situations. Right? When everybody sits down for a meal together, that's one thing. But in the lunchroom, Right, in the cafeteria, you could easily see why somebody sits down. Do we have to make a semen or not? Well, the answer is if you started together, yes. If you didn't start together and you finished together, yes. If you didn't start together and you don't want to, and then you don't want to finish together, you don't have to finish together. Somebody can finish. I got to get to class. My shiur starts earlier. So
you have no obligation, but if you want to voluntarily.
Correct. So one of the things that emerges in the opening sigurs in general is that it's a laudable thing to try to create zimun when there's not. We're going to see a braisa that talks about, is a shamish allowed to join in with the people? It depends how many people are eating, the Gemara will say, two or three. If there are two people, the shamish is allowed to join without permission. If there are three people, he's not allowed to join without permission. Why? Because there are only two people there, he's allowed to join without permission because he can assume they would want to do the mitzvah zimun, so he doesn't need an invitation. If there are three people and they already have a zimun already, and he's not part of the chevra, so it's a chutzpah on his part to insinuate himself unless he's invited. Right, so so the Rishonim point out that there's, of course, there's it's optimal, it's ideal, it's a hinder of the bracha that we all make one collective bracha, but you don't have to, so if you have other considerations that are pushing you, if you don't start at the same time and you don't end at the same time, you're okay. So now Tosis is just going to, I'm going to skip over the few lines, because why should I confuse everybody and myself? So if you skip down to the fifth last narrow line in Tosos, the narrow lines, it begins with the abbreviation, the Hachi Peirusho. This is what it means. Nasnu datam lechol, klomar shehischila b'tchila lechol b'yachad. That's b'tchila, where you chayav in lezamein. Oz vaday chova zimun aleihem. Then there's no way to get out of that chiyav. You must bench together. Ochlu kizayis zehu basof. Tosis explained that was one of the explanations of what basof means. Klomar im ha'echad hischil kodem chaveru kizayis. If I start eating before you. And again, it's not that when we, let's say, sometimes we break bread of the same bread, but sometimes we each bring our own sandwich. We don't have to have synchronized eating. As long as I don't eat a kizayis before you make your hamotzi, we're all together. Once I've started to eat, and I've eaten a meaningful amount, the kizayis, which creates an obligation of birchas hamazon, so at that point, if you then start to eat, we don't have to have a zimun as long as we don't finish at the same time. So, in ha'echad hischel kod l'chaver b'kizayis oz, Vaday im gomru sudasam yachad chayav lezamin. Avor rashayim ligmar zeh v'lo zeh. But they're permitted at that point, since we didn't start together, we're permitted to finish not at the same time, ulavarech, and each one of us to make our individual berachas hamazon. So that is what Tosa says. I would willing to bet that that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe I should have checked this, but I'll check in the back. Give me 1 second. Kuchtzadi beis sif aleph.
Where do you find where it is?
Oh, so the first to find where, if you look on the top left, you see the Amish partner mitzvah.
Yeah.
Now look on the Mishnah itself. You see Shlosha Sha'achlu. You see the Beis on Sha'achlu.
Small bed.
Okay, so if you go all down to the Beis letter, which is the second entry, Maimoni, which is the Rambam Perikem Hilchos Brachos Halacha Beis, the Smag, which is the Sefer Mitzvah Skidolos, Ramosh of Kusi. Which is one of the French. I know the Valatosos. He wrote a Sefer Mitzvos. That's Asei Chavzayin. It's not really a sefer mitzvah. It's more like a halacha sefer, but it's couched in mitzvahs. And then finally, Tur v'Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Sim Kuf Tzadi Beis Sif Aleph. So I happen to have in the back of my Oz V'Hadar Shas, I have this something called the Ein Mishpat Hamaleh. That's called the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. This is the Ein Mishpat Hamaleh, where for the lazy people in the world like me, they just copy out all the Rambams and all the Shulchan Aruchs that actually are quoted on the side of the Gemara. They put it in order of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Hayu hamesubin shlosha chayavim bezimun. He explains what the zimun is. He doesn't say in this sip what the breakup is. So I'll have to figure out where he. Where's the lama? Is that the same place? Kuf Tzadi Gemuk, the next one. Shulchan Aruch says two people who eat is a mitzvah to try to get a third person. So I'm going to have to look further where he quotes this halacha. You know, the truth is, it's not surprising to me, it's not easy to find it immediately because this is not explicit in the Gemara. So it's not like there's an obvious, it's going to be, I'm sure the discussion was quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The only thing I do see is that
It's really the Tosfot that bothers.
Correct, right. There's Tosfot. It's obviously it's a question that has to be asked, but it's not explicit in the Gemara. So finding it, there may not be a letter that points. So you have to just go and learn a few Simanim the Shulchan Aruch to see where it is. So I have to. Next week I'll come back and tell you what the Pesach is. It's probably like Tosfot. Rabbeinu Yonah makes an interesting claim based upon that story that I began shir with. The story in the previous parak about if they said Nezel Nechal Lachma V'Duchlan, even though they didn't do a Seba, if they set themselves to set up to eat there, so the question is, can one person make the bracha for everybody? Which I think Tosfos would say refers to bracha Rishona. So Rabbeinu Yonah claims that also refers to bracha Achrona, and therefore the implication of that Gemara is that if you didn't say you didn't do a Seva, which by definition means you're Kavu as one, that you start the meal together, and you don't set to start at the same time. Let's go eat bread there. Let's set ourselves. It sounds like that you wouldn't make, the one person could not make a bracha for everybody. It means everybody makes their own bracha. And he says that, and the Chiddush he claims is that based upon a Yerushalmi, that's even bracha chona, even bracha samazon. And therefore, if they don't start together, Rabbeinu Yonah says, there's no chiyah of zimut. It doesn't matter whether they finished together, if they didn't start together. I don't know if he would even allow the simple, if he's going to cite that Gemara as proof, it would seem that you're not even allowed, if you didn't start together, you're not allowed to make zimut. Right? Because in that Gemara, if you don't have the chiyah that the Gemara is looking for, when it comes to hamotzi, we don't say, but if you want one person to make those people, we say, no, every person has to make their own bracha. When you don't have zimut, as we'll see on the next amud, when you don't have a mitzvah zimut, when you don't have the possibility of zimut, ideally, everybody's supposed to make their own bracha. The Gemara, let me explain where that's going to be. The Gemara is going to, the first substantive discussion of Zimun. There's a little bit of a sort of quasi-agada to start the sugya. But the first substantive discussion is whether or not two people can make a Zimun together. Now, obvious, two people. You and I eat, mm-hmm. and as opposed to each of us benching on our own, said, I'll make a Zimun, you'll respond, and then I will recite the entire Berakha Samazan and you'll listen. Right? Which is what the idea. We don't do that. Mm-hmm. We talk about this discussion.
Yeah, we did.
We don't. The Ramah says, the Mechaber says not to do it because people won't pay attention. But in principle, I recite the entire Betche, you listen, and it's our bracha together. If you don't have a Zimun, if you don't know how to bench, you can listen to me, and you can fulfill your obligation of Shemei HaKona, but it's not your bracha, it's my bracha. Whereas if it's a Zimun, even though I'm the only one reciting,
that's our bracha.
So if we were to say that the three people should split up, it means each person is making their own bracha. If two of them didn't know how to make a bracha, if Rabbeinu is correct, then you wouldn't make a zimun before, but one person would bench and the others would be yotzei shomei ha'kona. But the ideal is when you don't have a zimun, everybody's supposed to make their own bracha. When you don't have a kiyas, when we don't blend together as a group. And that, in principle, holds both for the bracha rishona and for the bracha achrona. If you remember, it was a machlokas in the Gemara. There were two versions, but the version that most, that the main opinion in the Shulchan Aruch is that if we want to make a common bracha, one person for everybody, so when it comes to mizonos and bari pri agafen, we have to have a seva. Why? Because for the common bracha on something that's normally eaten b'kvias, you have to have kvias. We have to fuse together into one group. And if we were to eat bread, not b'haseva, it means we're like just, that's not how bread's normally eaten. Bread is normally eaten as a meal, so it means what you need is a snack. Whereas all other foods, the way, we don't do this, and that may be why, but the Shulchan Aruch Paschim, all the foods don't require haseva. They don't require haseva at all. It's machlokas that we've shown in which version, which position of the number? There are two lashonos. What is the status of all other foods that are not wine or not wine and bread? But the main position of Sak is that you don't need haseva. If we all decide to eat apples, I can make a bracha for all of us. Why? Because apples don't normally eat in bikvias, so there's no difference between haseva and non haseva. And for some reason, I can make the bracha for everybody. Although the truth is that may not even be. It's not clear that it's everybody's bracha. That might be shomei ha'kona. But certainly, in order to have one person make the bracha to everybody, let's say by wine and by bread, and to be everybody's bracha, not just the person who made them, not just the mevarech, so you have to have a seba, you have to have kvias. So that's what it means. It means we fuse together in one unit, and therefore one person makes the bracha. Fine. So that is the machlokas that we've shown him, whether or not finishing your meal at the end if you didn't start at the same time, we'll obligate you in Zim. Fine. So now the Gemara asks...
Well, we're going to come to that later.
Yeah. That was the preview, yes. Minohani Mili. So how do we know... So Rashi explains, what's the question here? How do you know that three people are ru'uyim?
The week I missed, did you read the whole Mishnah?
Yes. We discussed all those things that, you know, are all the things that straddle the line between which you're allowed to eat, not allowed to eat, which therefore means that you can or can't make a zibun on. So Rashi says, Minohani Mili means, how do you know that three people are ru'uyim lebirkas siruf, which is exactly what we've been talking about. How do you know that three people can have a bracha in combination? So the Gemara says, the Amar Kra, gadlu lashem iti, un romama shemo yachtav. So this pasuk, which you recognize from multiple contexts, in the Mizmor and Tehillim, it's not as obvious because you're just reading through it. But when the Chazan gets up on Shabbos and says, in a booming voice, Gadlu Lashem Iti, Nerom Hashem Yachtav, what he is saying to us is, Gadlu Lashem Iti, give exaltedness to God along with me. Now, how many is Gadlu? Well, Gadlu is plural. What is the minimum number of plural? Right. Aim, the Gemara's expression, Chazal's expression is, Aim Rabim Pachos Rishayim. So therefore, the Chazan, it's as if he's speaking to at least two people for sure. Or when this pasuk is uttered in context.
That's three.
So that means three. So one person says, Gadlu Lashem iti, unarom mashemo yachdav. That means what we're doing is the act of one, not the act of many.
So how would he say for one other person? Gadol Lashem iti?
Gadel Lashem iti. Gadel Lashem iti, yeah. And if she were female, you would say Gadli. And if it were a group of females, you would say Gadelma. But
so Gadli is two, and E.T. makes it the third one. Is that it?
Gadlu is two. Gadlu is two.
And E.T. is the third one.
Well, the person's talking. Yeah. Okay. He's saying, with me.
So that makes it three.
Yeah, makes it three. Rabbi Abahu Amar Mehocha. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Leilo Kenan. So this is the pasuk also, probably, is somewhat familiar. Some of you probably say this before mincha, before you say Hashem Esfas Haytifla. Some of us don't say this. Kimenak Hagra. But this is also from the Shir of Hazinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, when I call in the name of God, Havu Godel Leilokeinu, give greatness to God. So once again, it's Havu, not Hava, not Hav or Tame. So Havu is plural, so it's two. Plus the person speaking. So there's an idea that you need at least three people for this joint communal bracha. Birkas, as Rashi says, Birkas Tziruf. Now, once Tziruf means combination. Letzaref is to combine. So this is a unique concept here. The idea that, and again, it's different from all other halachic situations where one person is motzi others. This is not really a person. When if you're not making, for whatever reason, the birchas, a bracha on the lulav, or a better example, which I don't think many of us do, but some of the poskim recommend it because of the question of whether you're supposed to make a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh, Ashkenazim do. But many of them, I think, including Aruch HaShulchan, I think it's better just to answer amen to the if you're davening b'yechidus, you have to make your own bracha. But if you're a betzibur, answer amen to the chazan's bracha, b'yotze with his bracha. And the chazan better know that people are going to be yotze with this bracha. Because most of the time when we do things for the tzibur, we know we're doing things for the tzibur, we don't think anybody's being yotze. But in theory, but that means you're being yotze with his bracha. It's not your bracha. Whereas a birchas tziruf means that no, it's not his bracha. It's our bracha. It's just he's the one who's uttering the words. So,
there's no practical difference, though, is there?
Well, the practical difference is, is there any baked into the halacha, which is, if there's no zimun by two people, then it's a mitzvah lechalik. Ideally, it's supposed to divide up.
No, I guess, is it better for you to have it be also your bracha, maybe?
Yes. It's always better. It's better to do something. I might say here, we have a principle in halacha, whether it's universal, I think it is called mitzvah bo yosem ebishlucha. It's always better that you do it yourself rather than do something through a shaliach. It's invoked in a number of contexts, but it's particularly true by mitzvahs. It's better you should do it. But when you don't say by zimun, oh, well, then it would be better that the three of us split up, because after all, the answer is no. Because when we make a zimun, it is everybody's bracha. It's not that I'm being Yotzei Mizuris. It's not that you're my shaliach. You are our representative as opposed to being my shaliach. So now the Gemara has a slight tangent because we have this is about calling out things publicly, I guess, which is Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi Minayin She'ein Hametargem Rashai Lagbila Kolo Yosef. Oh, that's the connection. Amar Rabbi Chanan, I'm sorry. Minayin Ona Main Shalay Yagbila Kolo Yosef and Hametargem. How do you know that when you answer Amen, you shouldn't say it louder than the person making the bracha? You know, there's some people in shul who like to be heard.
Yes.
So how do you know it shouldn't be louder than the person making the bracha? Ashenemar gadlu l'Hashem iti unenaramu mashemo yachtav. It's together, so you shouldn't stand out. Fine. In that vein, Amar Bishimun ben Pazi, minayin she'en hametargem rashai lagbia kolo yosem en akore. Now, normally, the way Tosfos understood this Gemara, I'm going to suggest an alternative, and I can't find anybody who talks about this except for Tosfos. Tosfos understands this Gemara that the Metargim here we're talking about is someone reads the Torah, and someone translates it for the people. So that is the Meturgamon generally translates it into Aramaic. So Shimon ben Pasi says, how do you know that the Meturgamon, the Metargim, is not Rashai like Bia Yosef Kol Munavarach? Meaning, if I'm the Baal Koreh, and supposing that we had a Meturgamon, I don't think that would go over so well, KJ. In fact, I don't know any shul that would go over well. And I would audition for the job. It's a personal specialty and love of mine. So I think in my next life, I'm going to be a Meturgamon.
Go to the shul in Alexandria, right? That's the murder.
You have to do time travel for this.
What language are you going to
add? Aramaic. I'll rent it.
So okay.
You can test me afterwards. Okay. So
maybe you already were in a prior life.
What's that? It's possible if you believe in Gagulim. So how do you know that the Meturgamon is not allowed to translate louder than the Mavarech? So Shenemar Moshe Yidaber V'Hay Elokim Ya'anenu V'Kol. Now, hold on. So this is what's very, very interesting. The way Tosus understands the Gemara is reading the Pasuk is that that God spoke things, spoke the mitzvos, whatever he was speaking at Harsinah, and Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it to the people. Now, but that means Moshe Yidaber V'Elokim Ya'anenu V'Kol means God had already said it, which is strange. Ya'anenu, I mean, Ya'anenu means would, but still, it's an interesting formulation. And the Gemara asked the question, She'ein Tama Lo Bar B'Kol, just say Moshe Yidaber V'Elokim Ya'anenu. Why does Ya'anenu, which means to respond to B'Kol, what is B'Kol? Same volume as Moshe Rabbeinu. She'ein tam. I'm right. Tanya nami hachi. Ein a mitargim ashrei lagbi a kol yosem akore. Ve'mi esha a mitargim lagbi a kolo kineger akore. Yimayach akore kolo v'yikra. So they should be in the same volume. And if the miturgamon can't match the Valkyria's volume, then the Valkyria should lower his volume. Okay. So the Satosis is bothered by a question. It sounds like God imitated Moshe's voice. He didn't raise it more than Moshe's voice. Satosis asks, the third Tosis in the parak, third from the bottom also, the Kolo Shel Moshe, Vim Tomar, Heichi Maisi Raya Mi Moshe. How can you bring a proof from Moshe? V'hatzarech la'asuye, you have to demonstrate the Moshe Haya Metargim, Velo Haya Meirim Kolo Yosemei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehaya Kore. In other words, the assumption Tosfos has here is that God is the Baal Koreh here. He's reading the Torah. He's writing the Torah as we speak, you might say. And Moshe Rabbeinu is communicating to the people. He's like the Meturgamon. You're bringing a pasuk that Moshe spoke, and God, you know, didn't do it higher than Moshe Rabbeinu's volume. Upiresh, and this is a mistake, twice on this page, by the way, in this Tosfos, and I believe in the next Tosfos. I thought I skipped them. I'm not doing so well. Who maybe? The pasuk is bringing me. Who maybe? But it's backwards. If God is the one who is responding in kind of voice, so what's going on here? So he quotes now Rav Alphus, and this is there twice on this page, this Tosfos and somewhere else, one of the next two Tosfos, unless it's the next page. Maybe it's on the next page, which we don't, there's a mistake, because it's not in our riff. This one, I really they point out in the notes, it's not in our riff, but the second time he quotes Tosfos, either again, one of these two bottom Tosfos, on the next page, it's not in our riff. I don't know where he got it from. So they think it's some other Pirush. It was an abbreviation, Reish Aleph, and Rabbi Elazar, some Baal Tosfos, and somebody mistakenly expanded it to Rav Alphus, which is the Rif. So Pirush Rav Alphus, Bekolo Shel Moshe, that Mistamo Moshe Bechol Kocho Hayona, Kedei Lashmia Kolo Lechol Ha'am. Presumably, Moshe spoke at the top of his voice, because he wanted people to be able to hear him. and then, Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lo Haya Tzarech Laharim Kolo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to raise his voice. He was only talking to Moshe. That God raised his voice, a challenge for God to raise his voice, whatever that means, because he needed to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't be louder than him. He didn't need to speak loud. He was just talking to Moshe. But Moshe just needed to speak loud. So this is all very strange, even after Tosfos says this. And I just want to suggest an alternative possibility. There's two meanings to a meturgeman. I have a very strong suspicion. There is a meturgeman can be a translator, and a meturgeman can be someone who serves as the megaphone. We have in the Gemara the term, we use the term Amora, and Amora has two meanings. We normally use the meaning of the word Amora as an Amoraic sage, a rabbi in the period of Amorim, post-Mishnaic rabbi. But the other term for Amora, when a Talmud Chacham, who was probably an Amora, would give the public drasha, he would not project with his own voice, not just whether he could or couldn't, it wasn't dignified, I mean it wasn't bakavadik for him. Instead, he would have a guy next to him who was called the Namora or the Meturgeman, and he would be the person. He was a trained opera singer, and he could project his voice so everybody could hear him. So I wonder if this Gemara, if in fact it's not Moshe Rabbeinu was reciting God's word, but there's no way that people could all hear him. God was Moshe Rabbeinu's Meturgeman. That's why Moshe Yidaber v'Elokim Yanenu v'Kolo Shel Moshe. Which just raises the question of how to read that pasuk, because again, Moshe Yidaber v'Elokim Yanenu v'Kol. It makes a lot of sense to say Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't project, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind enough to serve as his microphone, and then everything makes sense. Tosfos' question falls away.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara is done with that. So now the Gemara. Now we turn back to our Mishnah. Itmar, Shnayim Sha'achlu Ka'achas. If two people, the last and narrow line in the Gemara. Shnayim Sha'achlu Ka'achas. Pligi Rav 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 Yochanan. It's Machlokas Rav Rav Yochanan. Chadamar Imratzu Lazamin Lazamin. One said, and notice the Gemara here right now doesn't know who said which. Later they're actually, the Gemara doesn't always do this. Sometimes the Gemara just says Chadamar Chadamar, and it leaves it at that. Somebody said and somebody said. You know, the way, unfortunately, most of us work. There's a machlokas, the Rambam, the Ravid. Who says which? I don't remember. There is a passage in the Sifrei, the Medrash Halacha and Dvarim. I think it's in the Sifrei, it's in the Gemara, about the pasuk of Lo Sasig Gvul Re'acha. You're not allowed to move the boundary marker, Asher Gavulu Rishonim. It's at the property marker here, so it's a prohibition. It's a form of theft. Specific than Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to do Chutz La'aretz either, but there's an additional losase in Eretz Yisrael of moving the boundary mark, of stealing the land. So the Chazal say, quote a different drasha on this, Minayin lemachlif divrei Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Yeshua of Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, shana over belosase, shanemer, losase gvul re'acha shagav rishonim. The importance of not taking, you know, somebody else's sheep and putting it in the wrong place. And you might say, the way I think to understand that is that the machlokes is about a dividing line between two opinions, and you're not allowed to shift the dividing line. Okay, So one is supposed to try to get it carefully, but sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you don't know. So the Gemara in this case says Charamar v'Charamar. Charamar Ratzul Zamin in Zamin. And so one said Ratzul Zamin Zamin v'Charam Ratzul Zamin in Zamin.
What about the Pasuk Gadol LaShemiti?
So hold on. Okay. Give the Gemara a chance. Sanan Shloshes Ida. Someone was telling me the other way. We're always like we do this too. Someone, a student of mine, was telling me that they were learning a Gemara, a night seder, a Ksubos, and they were struggling, and then they just gave up, and the Gemara asked the question 3 lines later. And sometimes the question bothers you, and it's like, what's going on? And then you look in the Rishonim, and they look, couldn't find any of the Rishonim address it. Why didn't the Rishonim address it? Because the Gemara addresses it 3 lines later. That's why.
Still learning.
Yeah, correct. But it's like spinning your wheels unnecessarily. So, it's great if you figured out what the Gemara's question is going to be. It means you're really sharp and you're learning well, but has spent all the time digging through the Rishonim to not find anything because the Gemara's going to ask the question. So, the Gemara says, Tanan, Shlosha Shachul Ka'achas Chayav Al-Latami, Shlosha Im, Shnayim Lo. So what do you mean? You asked from the Pasuk, but the Mishnah says, you need 3 people to make a Zimun. Now, actually, the Mishnah didn't say you need 3 people to make a Zimun.
Chayav.
Correct. The Mishnah said 3 people are obligated to Zimun, which allows the Gemara to say the following answer. Hasam chova, but hacha b'shus. The Mishnah is saying, once you have 3 people, you're obligated to make a berchas hazima. That's God l'ashem iti. But if you have only 2 people, so one of these Amorim said, yeah, you're not obligated to have a zima, but if you'd like to have a zima, you can. We have such a thing in halacha. We're going to talk about this. I don't know if we'll get to it today or we'll get to it next week. Women and zimun. Adrian, you have to listen here, and if anybody else is online. Can women make a zima? Do women have to make a zima? I noticed you had very quick answers on Adrian. Yes and no. So the yes part is definitely the case. Women can make a Zimun. The question is, do they have to make a Zimun? So the truth is that most of the Rishonim think they do. But Tosos recognizes the Minog wasn't. But in all probably the Minog wasn't because women didn't know how to make a Zimun. And then that may sound strange to you, but in a world in which you have no printed texts, in which women, despite the famous claim of Abelard, criticizing the Christians that they don't educate their children, and the Jews not only educate their sons, but their daughters as well. It would appear, despite Abelard's, he was a Christian monk. He was an interesting fellow. He was, he hadn't been a monk, but then he got in bed with one of his overlord's nieces, and his overlord made sure he would not do that again, so he became a monk. So Abelard apparently
defended him.
That's correct. I said it for Lashon Nekiyah, but yes. So Abelard speaks about the Jews, and he says that they teach even their daughters. So I don't know if they did. They say Rashi's daughters were tefillin. That's probably a myth. But Tom Tosus will see that he thinks they should be chayavos, but he kvetches why they're not to defend the minhag. So I always say to people, if you have, certainly 3 women, it's highly recommended they really should make a Zimun. But they're really uncomfortable, so nobody should force them.
About mixed company.
That's a different discussion. We can talk about that as well. The real question would have to be the following. If you have, we do it all the time, mixed company. If you have 3 men at the table and there are women there, everybody answers. The question that was discussed more recently is what happens, let's keep it the case where there are poskim, I think, for Gigi, and there's a lot of people started doing this. I don't think it's wrong. I don't personally do it because I think I turn more conservative OKC. Let's say you have a husband and a wife and an adult child, son or daughter.
Two couples.
So if women can make a zimun, clearly this, but they're not obligated. There's no chiyuv of zimun here. The question is whether you're allowed to have a tzivuf or not between the men and the women to get to the requisite rate.
So there
are some poskim who say no. There are some poskim recently. Who said that if it's within a family, it's not crossing families, that the only reason why it would seem that you can't do it is the Gemara will say, talking about women and Avadim, combining, because Avadim can make their own Zimun, women can make their own Zimun, they'll say, Ein Chavras Samnai. It's not a good, the Gemara says they can't make it together, and then some of the first say, because that's not a proper combination. So the question is it not a proper combination of men and women generally, or is it specifically a certain kind of men and women? So that's why. That's why some people say, within a family, it's perfectly appropriate.
But 2 couples, no.
But I don't think they would say 2 couples is okay. I think even those who permit don't say that. So, but at the moment, women will be an example where, according to Tosis's conclusion, there is no obligation of Zimun, but you're allowed to make the Zimun, and one person will lead the Zimun, and one person should do the Birch HaSamazim, and it will be everybody's Birch HaSamazim. Yes, I believe Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if you have 3 women making a Zimun and then you have men there, obviously only 2 men or less, that they answer to the Zimun as well. Okay. I think that we're socialized. I think that a lot of women, a lot of people, but a lot of women are uncomfortable in that situation. Women who might make a zimun when they're just women alone and don't want to do it in those circumstances, but there's no reason not to. And nobody has to force anybody, but there's no reason not to. Okay, so now the Gemara says, fine. Toshma, shlosha sha'ochlu ka'achas, chayovin lezamin. Ve'ein rashon lecholik, they're not allowed to divide up. So, if you have a zimun, so shlosha in, shnayim lo, so why can't they split up? After all, two people can make a zimun. Now, you should ask an immediate question on the Gemara. Now, the Gemara's answer is yes. But if two people make a zimun, the Gemara will say, Shani Hasan, the Kavalu Behova Meikara. There's a difference between the zimun of Chova and the zimun of Rishus. So once you have an obligatory zimun, which is for three people, you can't now do it with only two. Okay. But why? So that's we understand the Gemara's question, the Gemara's answer. But the question doesn't make any sense. Why is it, even if two people can make a zimun, why is it that Shlosha Shachul Ka'achas are not Rishon Lechalek?
Chayotim.
That's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara didn't know that yet. So you'll make a zimun of Rishus. No. So, that's the question. The answer ultimately is because when you have three people, it's a zimun of Chova, and you can't reduce your level to a zimun of Rishus. But the Gemara didn't realize that yet. So the Gemara's question was, if two people can make a zimun, why can't three people split up? Obviously, the conclusion is two people can't make a zimun. But I could have given a much better answer than that. Tosus asked this question. You know why three people can't split up, even if two people can make a zimun? Because what about the third person? What about the single guy? The zimun sets in on everybody. So, yes, let's say you could make a zimun. For example, six people can split up. You know how they can split up? It's two groups of three. But you can't have five and one. You know why? The five are fine. But the one guy, he also is obligated to be part of the zimun. So the fact that it could be that two people can make a zimun, two people are obligated to make a zimun. You can't split up because the one guy is not going to have a zimun. So Tosis' first answer, which I like better, is that the question of the Gemara wasn't from Shlosha Sha'achlu. If you go to the Mishnah later, it's probably that Mishnah on Daf Nun that we started before. Yeah, turn to Daf Nun Amar Aleph. Hold the page here for a second. Go to Daf Nun Amar Aleph. Shlosha Sha'achlu Ka'achas in a Mishnah Lichalek. V'chein Dalet v'chein Chamisha. Shisha Nechlakim Ar Asara. Until you get to 10. But Asara in Nechlakim Ar Esrim. Two kinds of Zimun. Zimun of Shlosha. Zimun of Asara. When we do Asara, it's obviously we have shame. Nevorech Elokeinu Shechal Mishalo. It's a higher level Zimun. So three, four, and five people can't split up because you'll get three, but you won't get everybody in a three. Six, seven, eight, and nine can split up into two groups as long as each group has three. And then 10 cannot split up once again until you get to 20, and then you could split as long as every group has at least 10. So Tosa suggests that Gemara's question wasn't from the three. It was from the four. You know, sometimes the Gemara quotes the beginning of the Mishnah, Tosa says, and this is true. Tosa ultimately prefers a different answer here, but Tosa says often the Gemara will quote the beginning of the Mishnah that it's asking the question from, but the question really comes from the latter part of the Mishnah. So in this case, Tosa's first answer is that the question wasn't from the three, it was from the four, it was from the Sefer of the Mishnah. That's sufficient for the moment. Okay, the Tosa has another answer without resorting to that. But anyway, the Gemara ultimately answers and says, listen, even if you could have, let's say we're four people, can't split up. Why can't you split up into two and two? Each two will make a zimun. The answer is because that zimun will all be a zimun shel rishus, not a zimun of chova. Okay. Toshima. I mentioned this brisa before. Hashama shahayim mishamesh al hashnayim, hareze ohali bahim, afopi shelo nasnu lo rishus. If the shamash was waning upon two people, he may eat with them even if they don't invite him, give him permission. Rashi says there's no gaiva involved here, because obviously they'd rather have a zimun. Mishamesh al shlosha, but if he was a waiter serving three people, hareza ena ochal imayim and inke nastu lo rishus. So what do you see? Two can't make a zimun. And the Gemara's answer is, you can figure out yourself, Shani Hasam, the Nicha Lahu, the Mikvah Lahu Bechova. they would prefer to have a Zeman Shel Chovo. Yes, it's possible. It's possible that two people can make a Zeman Shel Rishus, make a Zeman, but it's only a Zeman Shel Rishus. And these two guys who are eating would prefer to have a higher level Zeman. Toshima. Nashim Mizamnos La'atzman. Vavadim Mizamnos La'atzman. Nashim Vavadim Uktanim Ratzu Mizamnos Ein Mizamnos. So the Braisa says that women can make, this is a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, women can make a Zeman on their own, Avadim can make a Zeman on their own, but Nashim and Avadim means together, and Ketanim is thrown in here, less clear why, they can't make a Zeman. So the Gemara says, Vaha Mea, Vaha Nashim Afilu Grazim Yuvesha, Vaha Nashim Afilu Mea is Ketrei Gavrei Damyon. Now, what this means right now is that in terms of the level of chiyuv of zimun, now right now it's clear the Gemara is assuming that zimun for women is rishus. So you're going to ask me, how could all the Rishonim say it's not? The answer is because the conclusion of the Gemara might be different. But right now the Gemara says that 100 women are like two men in terms of the obligation of birchas hamazon. The katani nashim mizam la'atzman, v'avadim mizam la'atzman. That women can make a zimun, even though there is no chova. They're in effect like two men, where there's no chova. Now you might realize immediately this is not a very good argument here, and the Gemara immediately answers this: no. Shani Hasam, the ikadeos. The point is not the level of chiyuv. There are three women. The reason why Munashim Samas Atzban is because three people can get together and praise God. This is not about chova or rishos. And then the Gemara says, "Ema seifa," and this is the proof. Nashim avadim. I'm sorry. So that, no, that's the question on this. But the Gemara's answer is Deus. Rashi says that even if they're not chiyav, even if they're chayavos, nonetheless there are three people there, so it's appropriate. It's chashuv to have a joint bracha. Whereas it's only two people, yes, they're not chayiv, and it's not appropriate chashivas for the bracha. So the way Rashi understands, clearly nashim are only, it's an optional, it's not obligatory. Rashi understands that as the answer. But many Rishonim say, no, shani hasam, dika deyats, you missed the whole point. Women are not rishus, they're chova because there are three people. Two men is not three people. And therefore, it is not possible, at least at this stage, for them to make a zimun, because they can't, we would say, they can't say God l'ashem itim. So now the Gemara says, well, one second, if deos are what matters, if you just need three people, three Jewish people, emasefa, nashim avadim, uratzo lezamen, emasamnim, amaylo, ha'ika deos. You have three people there. So the Gemara says, shani hasa mishum peritzusa. We're concerned about preachers, because the avadim were particularly lewd. Now, the simple reading of the Gemara would be that if it were not avadim, if it were Jewish men, freedmen, who are not suspected of preachers, maybe there shouldn't be a problem of making a combination. If that, in fact, is what the Gemara would say, the reason why they don't talk about a joint thing is because they're talking about significant groups of people, and therefore, once you have three men, the men are going to make the zeman, the women can answer to it. Everybody is part of the bracha, it doesn't necessarily mean that men, it's not clear there's a concern of preachers there. But that's the discussion in the poskim. Are we concerned? Does this mean men and women are not supposed to combine for a zeman? Even if you wanted to say that generally, it's hard to argue that within a family. Right? So the concern with a husband and a wife and a child of preachers is very hard to argue, unless you argue this for some type of blanket ban. It's still a very big stretch. The Gemara doesn't talk about families. It talks about Nashim and Avadim. If you know the reputation of Avadim throughout rabbinic literature, you would understand why. Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara says, now the Gemara wants to try to figure out who said which. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Who said you can make a zimun, who you can't? Who said you can't? So now the Gemara says, Tistayim, the Rav, the Amar, the word Tistayim means, something that is Mesuyam is distinguishable. So when they say Tistayim, they're trying to distinguish whose position was which. So they say Tistayim, the Rav da Amar Amratzu Lezamen Emezamen. It would make sense that Rav would be the one who said they can't make a Zeman. The Amar Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Amar Rav, Rav Dimi Bar Yosef quoted Rav as saying, Shlosha shachu ka'achas, yotze echa mehem lashuk. Three people ate in the lunchroom, and then one of the guys went into the gym next door because he wanted to play basketball. Korin lo, umezam lo lav. You called to get his attention. He doesn't have to leave the gym. He has to stop playing basketball so he can respond. And you, what, with three people, he's not obligated to come in and sit down with you. And he's obligated to bench at some point, but for the Zimun purposes, he could just answer where he is. So the Gemara says, Taima, the Korin lo, hello Korin lo, lo. Why is it you have to call the third guy? If two people can make a Zimun, why does the Braisa imply that if he doesn't actually pay attention, you can't make a Zimun? So make a Zimun of two. So you know what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, no. Shani Hasam, the Ikvalu Bechova Meikara. No, the reason why in that case they have to have Korin lo, and he's got to pay attention, is because they start out with three. Now the Gemara says, Tistayin Rav Yochanan Hu the Amar in Ratzon Lezamin and Mezamin. All right, now they want to say, no, maybe it's Rav Yochanan who says that Eim is Amnin. The Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shnayim Sha'achul Ka'achas, Echad Mehem Yotzei B'Birkas Chavera. Rav Yochanan said that if two people eat together, one of them can be Yotzei with the bracha of the other person. And the Havinan Ba, my kamashvalan. We wonder, okay, what's the chiddush? We know that one person can be motzi another. Tanina, shama v'lo ana yatsa. If I hear the other person make the bracha, even though I don't say it, even though I don't answer amen, I fulfill my obligation. So what's the chiddush from Yochanan? The Amar Rabbi Zeira, loma she'ein birchas hazimun b'neihem. Rabbi Zeira says, when Rabbi Yochanan says that echad bevarech, what he's saying is that if one is going to fulfill their obligation to the other person, it's birkas chavero, it's not birkas shnehem.
Right.
The bracha that you're making, he's being yotze with the other guy's bracha. We'll see that with the way we paskin. And if Rabbi Yochanan might have held it's l'chatchila, we hold that you're not supposed to do that unless the other person, one of them, does not a bench. But the point is that when he says yotze bebirkas chavero, we know Shomei Akona. The answer is no. What he's telling you is it's not Ein Brachas Hazim. It's not their joint bracha. It's his bracha, and the other guy's being Yotze. Okay? So the Gemara says Tistayim. Yep. You got it. Rav Yochanan is the one who holds that there's no Zimun for Shtayim, which means Rav holds. There is. So now the Gemara asks, but wait, for Harabanan da Asa Mima Rava Amre, the rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael said, Im Ratzu Lezamen Mizamnin. They said, you know, I don't know which generation, when this is referring to, but some group of Talmidei Chacham came from Eretz Yisrael and said, yeah, you can make a Zimun of two. So my love, the Shemi Elohu Rabbi Yochanan. Presumably, when they came from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rav lived in Babel. So they were bringing, it must have been Rabbi Yochanan's sheep that they were bringing. So the Gemara says, lo, the Shemi Elohu Rav may kamei denachas la Babel.
Before he went to Babel.
Because before Rav made Yirida, Rav, when Rav was going to Babel, he didn't have smicha yet. So Rabbi Chia approached Rebbe. Rabbi Chia was Rav's uncle, was very close with Rabbi Hidanasi. And this big Gemara Sanhedrin, he said, Benachi Yori Lebavel. My nephew is going to Bavel. Yore, so Rebbe said, Yore. Yadin, Rebbe said, Yadin. Yatir Bechoros, Rebbe said, Al Yatir Bechoros. There were three smichas. Today we have an imitation of those, the first two we call Yore Yore, Yadin Yadin. But we don't have Yatir Bechoros. That we don't have anymore.
What was that, the highest level?
Yes. So, but Yatir Bechoros was a special thing. It was a very narrow thing. If you have a Bechor, especially when there's no Beis HaMikdash, if a Bechor, and it's always true, if you have a Bechor of a kosher animal, of a shor, of an ox, a goat, a sheep, so it's given to the Kohen, he has to bring it as a Korban. What if he can't bring it as a Korban? Well, then he's got to wait for it, like there's no Beis HaMikdash. So he has to wait for it to get a Mum. But you have to know that the Mum is, number one, the Kohen is not allowed to make sure it gets a Mum. And number two, you have to make sure that it's a permanent Mum. So you have people who have to be experts. I think the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, like, why didn't he give him Yatir Bechoros? Did Rav not know enough? The Gemara says, no, Rav spent 18 months living with the shepherds just to learn all about the Mum of animals. But he wanted Eretz Yisrael to have a one higher level. So that's me, he wasn't willing to give to Chutz Laretz. But the purpose of the heter, any time a Kohen wants to eat a Bechor, he's got to bring it to a Chacham. And the Chacham has to figure out, number one, the Kohen's going to have to prove that he didn't put the Mum in the animal. And number two, the Chacham has to designate that this, in fact, is a permanent Mum. And then once that happens, the Kohen is allowed to shef the animal. milk that as a carbon. You can't use the animal for anything like the plow, to milk, and so on. You can just shecht it, and if it's kosher, you can eat it. That's all you can do with a bechor, behemoth, tahora.
The level of kedusha.
Right. So anyway, so Rav left Eretz Yisrael. He went to Bavel. That's when he got his snicha. So the Gemara here suggests that, you know what? He must have said this din, that two people can make an optional zeman before he went to Bavel. And then that's why the guys in the base medrash knew this din. And then some of those guys went to Bavel as well. And they quoted a tradition from Eretz Yisrael that two people can make a zeman. And it turns out it was probably Rav's. So that is what the Gemara's conclusion is. Okay, so now I would like to take a moment just to look at the Tosis here. That's all we'll talk about in terms of the women's obligation of Zimun. Mikan Mashma, the second Tosfos, Mikan Mashma, the Nashim Yecholos Lazame La'atzma. It sounds like women are allowed to make their own Zimun. V'chein Asu Benos Rabbeinu Avraham, Chamiv Shel Rabbeinu Yehuda. So did the daughters of Rabbeinu Avraham, the Shver, the father-in-law of Rabbeinu Yehuda. Okay, probably Rabbeinu Yehuda's wife and her sisters. Al pi avihim, on the basis of their father's instruction. Mihu lo nagu ha'olam ke. Doesn't seem to be the minhag ha'olam. The kasha amai lo nagu midiktani mizamnos mashma dekaamar chayavos lezamen. The simple reading of the brisa, nasha mizamnos la'atzman, means they have to make a zimun. So why is it not the minhag that they make zimun? So v'yesh lomar, the nasha mizamnos la'atzman, hainu imratzu lezamen mizamnos. It doesn't mean they have to. The chain mash matzas haloshim midiktani besamach nashim bavadim in ratzul lezamein ein mizamnin. He doesn't really explain what this means, but I assume what he means is that if there were a chiyuv of zimun, we wouldn't be so fast to dismiss women and avadim making a zimun together. If it's rishus, okay. So once it's really optional the zimun, so then we say don't do that because we're afraid about preachers. But if women were really obligated in zimun, it's not that the chacham couldn't do away with the obligation, and it's rabbanon anyway. But they might less quickly have been dismissed it on the grounds of preachers. That's number one. Number two, v'od demidama leha gemara l'shnayim. Right, the Gemara said that 100 women is like 2 men in terms of the chiv of the zimun. So it sounds like mashma the chovaleta. There's no obligation. But the hod ka'amar bereish arachin, the brisa in the beginning of Maseches Arachin that says hakomuchu yavim bezimun, all are obligated in zimun. And the Gemara says la suya nashim, to include women. So Tosa sounds like they're obligated. Mm-hmm. So Tosa says no, it just means inyan rishus kamar. The lola inyan chova, which is pretty. It's a pretty forced reading. That's why I think most Rishonim don't, in principle, don't agree with Tosa. Tosa is reflecting what the minhag was. The reality is, as you'll see in the continuation of Tosa, the minhag probably came about because women didn't know how to make it. So he says, v'yesh mevi'in amitzartiyun v'nashim tzarachiyun. Now, I don't know at this point, are they Yotze, they're not obligated, according to Tosis, but are they Yotze with the men Zimun if they don't understand? And the truth is, one could go further. Are you Yotze with the Birchas Hamazon if you don't understand? I think the consensus is, if you don't understand the Birchas Hamazon, you can't be Yotze. It's not even clear, it's not even entirely clear, I think we do Paskin, whether you can be Yotze, your own Birchas Hamazon, if you don't understand what you're reading. So it's not like Kriya Shema. It's not like Kriya Shema if you don't understand what you're reading. That's one thing, because you're reading the Pesukim of the Torah. That might be sufficient. But if Birchas Hamazon is thanking God for the food, and you have no idea what you're saying, so...
But you know you're saying thank you.
Okay, so you might be better off saying, Rabba Dab Dab, thanks to the God. Thanks to the grub, hey God. That might be better for some reason than saying Birchas Hamazon, where you don't understand a word of what you're saying. So Tosa says, the Yesh Mevi'in Raya, She Yotzos, with the Amar Lakaman, Sofer Mevarech Ubur Yotze. Right? So the Bur is Yotze. The Bur, a Sofer, is an educated person. The Bur is an ignoramus. The Bur is Yotze with the Sofer. So he probably doesn't understand what's being said. So Mikan Mashma, She'af HaNashim Yotzos, the Birkas HaMazon Shalanu, even though they don't understand. But Mihu Yesh Litchos, Osa Raya. Then maybe that's not proof. The Shani Bor Shemavim Belashon Hakodesh. He understands a little bit what's being said. He just can't say it himself. Aval Eino Yodei Aval Eino Yodei. He can't make the brach himself. Aval Nashim Sheinam Avinas Klal Matzil Lemei Madlo Nafki. You might say that yotze. Now, there is, Tosa says, and Rashi elsewhere says they are yotze. He says they yotze because he refers to the Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah says the following. We're going to read the Megillah on Purim in just over a couple of weeks. I don't want to freak anybody out. Pesach is 4 weeks after that. I might freak more people out. And we're going to read the Megillah, and we're going to read it in Hebrew. But the Mishnah says you could read the Megillah in another language. But the deal is, if you read it in Giptis, whatever that is, you pick your language. If you read it in Turkish, or you read it in Arabic, or you read it in English, you have to understand the language to be Yotze. If you read it in Ashuris, in Hebrew, you don't have to understand. Mm-hmm. So Rashi brought that as a raya, that you could be Yotze, that women could be Yotze, Beruch Sabas, and they don't understand, as long as the Beruch Sabas is in Hebrew. Matosa says the following. Yesh, V'hada Aminim Megillah, Lo'ez Sheshama Ashuris Yotze, Lo'ez means someone who's a foreign language speaker who doesn't understand Hebrew, heard Hebrew is Yotze. Pursume Nisiba Al Mashani. No, that's because the whole purpose of the Megillah is to publicize the Nes. Kedamrin Hasam. Ha-hashtranim b'nei ha-ramachim miyadina mainihu. The Gemara points out that the few words in the Megillah, the ha-hashtranim and b'nei ha-ramachim, we have no idea what that means. It might be that today we do know what that means. Probably you have someone who knows Farsi and might actually know, or certainly there's someone who knows Middle Persian or whatever period they spoke this, whatever that dialect of Persian in. But the Gemara says that the idea is, you know what the story of Purim, you don't have to understand all the individual words, because if you have to understand all the individual words, you won't be, nobody would go to it, because nobody knows what the Ahashtran Ibn Haramachin is. So Tosas is not persuaded by that Mishnah that it's applicable to the context of Birch HaSamasim. Megillah, it's presuming Nisa, you have a big public reading to celebrate the miracle, everybody knows the miracle, but Birch HaSamasim, you're going to say the words, you have to understand that you're thanking God. Okay. Any questions?
No, very good. Nothing.